Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
So imagine you're on a really long flight. You're traveling business class, so you get a little bit of luxury. And to help the time go by, you decide to turn on your little TV, you put in your earbuds, and you start watching The Office. It's a popular show, still got a fan base. Well, after about 5 hours of binge watching, the guy sitting next to you nudges you and says, seems like you really like that show. He's wearing a hat and he's got a COVID-type face mask on. You tell him you do like it. You admit it starts off kind of slow the first season until you get to know the characters. He nods and says, so the first season's kind of bad, huh? Well, then as he's talking to you, he slowly takes off his mask and you realize something. The guy who's sitting next to you the entire time you were watching The Office is Rainn Wilson, the guy who played Dwight Schrute on The Office. This actually happened to some guy on a Delta flight recently. Rainn Wilson posted a video to his Instagram account 2 weeks ago with the caption, "When the person sitting next to you has no idea who you are." He panned his phone around to catch a glimpse of his seatmate just sitting there watching The Office, completely oblivious to who was sitting there right next to him. Now, granted, Wilson was wearing a hat and face mask, and he didn't have Dwight's famous glasses, so it would have been hard for anybody to recognize him. But, as he revealed in a follow-up post, once it dawned on the guy who he was, quote, "his head exploded, and we had a good laugh." Now, when I heard this story, I immediately thought of today's gospel reading about not recognizing somebody who's right there next to you. Right? This is the famous story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, to set the stage for this scene, we need to remember that it takes place on the same day that Jesus' empty tomb was discovered. So these two disciples are just talking and trying to process everything that just happened, especially what they heard that morning. Well, as they're walking and talking, the risen Christ suddenly starts walking with them. Well, like the guy on the Delta flight next to Rainn Wilson, they have no idea who this is. But the question is, why not? Right? Jesus isn't wearing a hat or a face mask or anything like that. Why don't they recognize him? The text simply says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Well, that's not very helpful. But I think the text does give two more specific reasons for why they didn't recognize him. The first reason is their grief. Right? Just a few hours ago, the women had come back from the tomb and told the story of what happened to them to the men. And it seemed completely ridiculous to them. The gospel writer even says, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Well, that's actually a really tame translation here. In the Greek, it's more like they thought the women were full of fill in the blank. Who in their right mind would believe a story like this? Instead, what's really believable is that the guy on whom you had pinned all your hopes and dreams got pinned to a cross. These two disciples are still trying to process his death. Right? This is a lot to deal with for them. So they tell this mysterious traveler, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Well, in one sense, that's kind of like asking, "Have you been living under a rock the last few days?" To which the stranger might have said with a wink, "In a way." Think it through. In another sense, though, their question could also be a way of sidestepping the telling of the story. They didn't want to revisit what just happened. They didn't want to go back there. They don't want to talk about it. Right? This guy should already know what happened. But the risen Christ playfully says to them, "What things?" He makes them tell the story. He makes them revisit it. So they talk about Jesus of Nazareth, who is mighty in deed and word, and how he was handed over to death and crucified. They retell the story, and their hearts are breaking. The text even says in verse 17 that they were sad. Right? They don't recognize the risen Christ right there with them because their eyes are too full of tears. Their minds are too full of questions. Their hearts are too heavy with grief. And we can understand that, right? I mean, we've all been there. In your times of grief, I bet you don't see things clearly either. You're in this funk. The world just seems different to you. Everybody else is just going on with their lives and doing their thing, but you know things have changed for the worse. The emotions inside of you are just raw. The event is still fresh in your mind. It doesn't seem like anything else in life matters at this point. So it makes sense that these two travelers don't see the risen Christ with them. Their grief is just too strong. It clouds everything else they see. But there's also a second reason why they don't see him there with them. It's because they weren't expecting to see him there with them. They had expected other things of Jesus. Not that he would be traveling right there on the road with them. All right, think about that guy on the plane again. He didn't recognize Rainn Wilson. One, because he was just focused on watching his TV. But two, because he probably didn't think, "Hey, which famous celebrity am I going to sit next to on my flight today?" No, you don't go around thinking stuff like that. You expect to see celebrities on your TV screen in front of you, not in the seat next to you. So after telling the risen Christ about the horror of the crucifixion, these two travelers say, "But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." There it is. There's the expectation. There's the heartbreak. We had hoped. That little phrase is incredibly honest. We had hoped he was the one. We had hoped he would redeem Israel. We had hoped things would get better. But he died. They couldn't see Jesus there with them because they were dwelling on their unmet expectations. And we've been there too. Think about a time in your life when things didn't turn out the way you wanted. Think about a time when you said, "But I had hoped. I had hoped this person would be the one for me, but they weren't. I had hoped this job would have worked out, but it didn't. I had hoped I would be married or have kids by this point in my life, but it hasn't happened. I had hoped I wasn't going to get sick like this, but now look at me. I had hoped my spouse wouldn't have died like that, but now I'm all alone. I had hoped the future was going to be better for my kids, but it doesn't look that way. I had hoped." There are so many ways you can finish that phrase. These travelers on the road had all of these ideas about how they wanted things to turn out. They had all these expectations of Jesus. They'd expected him to kick out the Romans and redeem Israel. Even after his resurrection, right before his ascension, his disciples ask him, "Lord, is this the time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel?" Even to that last moment, they were expecting him to do this. But he didn't do it. Nobody expected the Messiah to suffer and die. Except, of course, the Messiah himself. And so while walking on the road, the risen Christ opened the scriptures to these two disciples and said, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Just as how he had predicted his death and resurrection three times already, so now the risen Christ reminds these two disciples that death is still not the end. But they are so overcome by grief and so overwhelmed by shattered dreams that they still don't quite get it. But then something happens. They invite him to stay with them and share a meal with them. And then they recognize him. Because at this meal, Jesus did the same verbs that he did when he fed the 5,000 and when they celebrated the Last Supper. He took, blessed, broke, and gave. And then it clicked for them. They saw him. Right? Their heads exploded. But notice something here. Jesus didn't come out and say to them, "Hey guys, I'm here. It's me, Jesus." Because who would have believed him? He also didn't tell them to snap out of it. Because life doesn't work like that. You have to work through your grief. It takes some time. Even though Jesus is right there next to you, you don't always see him. But the fact that you don't always see him does not mean he's not there. Or to remove all the negatives from that sentence, Jesus is right there with you, even when you don't notice him. Sometimes, though, you do see him. And I bet you see him in word and sacrament, like these disciples did. Right. Yes, you can encounter Jesus anywhere in the world. He can show up to you in places you would never expect. But he promises you that he is here in the Word and in the sacrament. When it seems like we can't see him anywhere else in our lives, then we look here, to Scripture, to Holy Communion, to Holy Baptism, and we see that he is with us. And he's been walking beside us the entire time. It's very much like that famous Footprints in the Sand poem many of us know. Even though you were all alone, he was really there with you the whole time. It is no wonder then why these two disciples rush back to Jerusalem to tell others what just happened. They want the other disciples to know that he is with them too. Right? I don't know what happened when the guy on the plane next to Rainn Wilson got home. But I know he had quite the story to tell. And an even better story is the one that we get to tell. We have seen that the risen Christ has been with us even in our hardest times. And now we get to tell others that he is right there with them too. How's that for having somebody famous right there next to you? In the name of the one who always walks with us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.